told Kim before the service that I couldn't wait to see what they were bringing today for music. And man, I couldn't have handpicked a better song. I've loved that one since, well, 96 when it came out on the Jagged Little Pill album. And and that song couldn't be any truer because she is singing about the things that we don't usually find pleasant as part of our learning experience and gives us lots of examples. Those examples are the reason that I have a job. I do have people that occasionally will call me and say, can I come in and just tell you how great my life is going? But most of the time, the calls are, something's not going so great, can I come and talk to you about it? Because that's what life presents to us. Last week, we talked about the creative process and the law of mind action and how powerful we are creating with God. Our life experiences and how lucky we are that we can have a set of responses, a library of responses to life as we go through it when we've walked into this place of truth. But in spite of our great intentions, in spite of our great plans that we make with our creative urge, things don't always go according to the plan that we set out. Like a lot. And sometimes it takes so much longer than we thought it was going to take, and sometimes it turns out to be something completely different than we expected. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we don't plan to lose a spouse or a loved one. We don't plan to lose our job. We don't plan to suffer with health issues. Nobody says, I think I will create, let's see, an autoimmune disease. That'll be a good one. So I can see how I work through it. Nobody does that. And so the question that's been posed to me over and over and over again, and one that we debated until our teachers were sick of us when we were in ministerial school, was, is it God or is it us when we run into these things? And the answer is yes. It's always the answer. If you go back to Psalm 139, it's the beautiful psalm about you knew me before I was created in my mother's womb. You've known every breath. You have known every cell of my body. David didn't use cell in that, but you know what I mean. And so there's that view that God has known our path all along. But when we say that, it's too easy for us to anthropomorphize God as some kind of deity that is up there controlling our path. And if you haven't yet abandoned the idea that God has a thumb on your head scooting you around from one challenge to another or playing foosball with your life, it's time to let that one go. Because, to put it in a short answer, Lee kind of already did my sermon, but thank you, Lee. But if we can remember that we are all threaded together, that we're as woven together as a tapestry and our threads are that tight. We are 1,000 threads per square inch. That's better than you can get on your bed sheets. we're woven together that closely, so we have no idea what the events and circumstances are that weave us together with others, that weave us into the pattern of life, so that we might find our direction and our purpose. And it's a conundrum that the life journey, really, it's what it's about, isn't it? You know, a lot of us have created a big plan, and we've put all of our good spiritual intentions and energy behind our big plan. And sometimes it comes to fruition, and sometimes it falls apart miserably. And why is that? I don't know. I don't know. Except that your highest good is always in store. Always, always, always. It might be postponed. It might look different. It might mean that you have to clear up some stuff in your life so that you'll be ready for this great blessing to come to you. Just ask anybody who's ever walked into an AA meeting for the first time. Wow, okay. This is beyond my control, and I'm turning it over to God. Whew, now I can have a great life. In about 20 years, things will start to look, you know, kind of settled down. I'm just kidding. It may be only 15. But we have a lot of junk. I'm having to censor my mouth here. We have a lot of junk that we've got to move through sometimes. We have conditioned responses to life that we were taught from the cradle. We have habits that we built up that didn't serve us. We have junk, literal and physical, that we need to offload. And so we have our 12-step groups, and we have therapy, and we have supportive friends, and we have prayer. We have prayer. So I wrote just a few notes today about what we do with our spiritual principles, our divine ideas. You know, divine ideas is a thought that you'll, it's a phrase that you'll hear in New Thought throughout. And divine ideas are God-inspired ideas for the highest good that come through us. But remember, they have to go through our human filter. And sometimes we don't get it exactly right. Sometimes we do. We have nudges. We have inspirations. We have our heart's desires. And so it's important for us to identify those things. Say, yes, this is the next thing for me. This is my heart's desire. This is what I feel like I'm being led to. We pray on it. We affirm that it is an action for us to take in our lives. It is a place to which we would like to arrive. And we take steps as guided. And so we're going along and we're lining things up and we're taking those next steps, and then bam, it all goes haywire. Life circumstances change. There's a shift. There's an unexpected roadblock or two or 17 that get in our way. So we stop. We stop. Sometimes our tendency is to try to go faster. Oh, I'll try harder. Let me just try a little bit harder. Let me pray a little bit harder. Let me try to convince God I know what I'm doing a little bit harder. But we stop and we listen. And we reevaluate, and we observe, and we make our course corrections, and we start over, or we abandon, or we postpone, Are you identifying with this pattern so far? There is not one of us who doesn't encounter this. It's our human dilemma of being spiritual beings living in this human flesh. And so we ask ourselves, when we can worry ourselves to death, were we wrong to pick it in the first place? Did we misinterpret it? Oh my gosh, did we cause these roadblocks? And sometimes we don't necessarily cause them, but it's for our soul's growth that we notice them. So that we can say, I recognize that, wow, I've been doing this and this doesn't work for me. And our first response to that is not usually, oh, thank you, God, now I can clean this up. Our first response is usually, are you kidding me? Thought I was done with this stuff. I thought we were over this. Remember what we've talked about before, that we're in a spiral. We're in a spiral and we're going to re-encounter challenges periodically, but as we're moving up this spiral, as though I could define life in linear terms, which I can't, we're going to encounter something again, but we'll be at a higher level than we were before. We'll move through it more quickly. We'll recognize it more quickly. We'll use the tools that we gained since the last time we went through it. We don't know what the perfect timing and action is all the time. And because we're inextricably linked to each other, there are events and circumstances that are beyond our sight that we must be waiting for, that we must be patient about. You know, the famous prayer is, oh, please, this or something better. I came across the words of a poet yesterday that I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble's where I can get an actual book I can hold in my hands. This poet's name is Mary Oliver. I don't know where I've been all her life, but she just died recently. So I want to read to you just three things that touched me. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Oh, do you ever think about that? Your one wild and precious life. I love that so much. Somebody says, how are you doing today? You say, I'm wild and I'm precious. Just look at me. I'm figuring it out, but man, I am wild and precious along the way. You do not have to be good. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Don't those words just melt you? The soft animal of your body. That's a good thing to remember on a day when you don't feel well. You got to take care of the soft animal. Have I experienced happiness with sufficient gratitude? Have I endured loneliness with grace? Oh my goodness. Thank you, Mary Oliver. Wherever your wild and precious life is now, for giving us words of the creatures and the sea and the sky and the forests that you loved to help us remember what's important to us. She did not consider herself a religious person, but I consider her deeply, deeply spiritual. Kit's been teaching from this thing called You, and we got into a very interesting discussions the other night about what to do when we run into our roadblocks, what to do when life hands us some unexpected things. There's a great line from a Leon Russell song, kind of into the music thing today. He said, when life gives you lemonades, just do what they say. You know what they say. Make lemonade? Yeah. Just do what they say. If life gives... Okay, let's start this one over again. Okay. Leon Russell is singing. He said, when life gives you lemons, just do what they say. Okay, good. If I deliver that one again, I'll try it a little differently. Wowie, wow. Mental laws, this is from this thing called You. Mental laws are as real as physical laws, reproducing physical laws in the mental realm. The use of your creative power is as natural as the use of electricity, but there is not much known about it. No wonder we can't figure things out sometimes. Many think it's something delivered only to a few by special edict. Fortunately, this is not the case. When the spirit thinks, knows, or wills, a law is set in motion which projects and governs what it, with a capital I, thinks, knows, and wills. Since God is always in harmony with itself and knows only that which is good, then God thinks only that which is good. Since God thinks everything into being, there must be a perfect pattern at the center of everything. It doesn't say there must be a perfect pattern at the center of everything which we can see in its completeness in any given moment. Your individual world is a unique and individualized expression of the whole universe, following the same laws, governed by the same principle, and stimulated by the same mind. Now that's some absolute truth right there. Next week, our talk is going to be about divine oneness. And we're going to be speaking about how we support each other and how we cannot be separate from each other. And I'm going to talk a lot about kindness. Kindness is sometimes becoming a forgotten art. We live in divisive times that are not always kind. But we need each other. We need each other to be able to work our way through our divine plan. We need each other to help see what the divine design is. Do you know one of the things that I love about working closely with Kit is that we're both grounded enough in the truth on any given day that if I'm all and Leah can tell you it sounds kind of like that. Kit is so good at hearing me out and then affirming the truth for me and saying what is really real. And I go, okay. And then it sinks in. It lands. And I hear it, plink, and my mind is at peace. And then there are days when Kit comes in, and it's a different kind of growly sound than mine. We all have our unique and individual growl. Our unique and individual tears. Our unique and individual way of being small and limited in our vision. But we have, bless you, we have the opportunity to be that with people with which we can land safely and softly. And then I can affirm for Kit what is true. And so together we can get to the truth of things faster. We need that. What's tricky is when somebody comes up to us and they're all, you know, brittle. You know what I mean about brittle people? Like if they come up to you and they're just, you can just tell that there's not one relaxed muscle in their body because they're so riled up about something. Like, man, sorry, that Texas girl just came right out then, all riled up. And you feel like if you just thumped them, they'd just fall into pieces. So don't thump them. Which might be our tendency. Oh, knock it off. Our tendency is to try to talk them out of feeling that way. Our tendency is to make it better, fix it, shame them. Ew. We do that sometimes too. We don't mean to. We can shame them very metaphysically. That's the worst kind. But what we can do for each other is just say, wow, it sounds like you're kind of hurting. I'm going to let your hurt and anger and brittleness just wash past me, and I'm going to stand here for you as a bit of the truth, as a representation that there's something bigger for you than what you can see right now, and I love you. That's hard to do when you've got an angry, brittle, disappointed, pessimistic person standing in front of you. We're absolutely required to do that. Listen to me, friends. I'm going to get down here. You ready, Jason? We had a master teacher who told us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. There were no conditions applied to that. Love our neighbors as ourselves, as an extension of us, as a connection to us, as one with us. You see, I'm getting into next week already. And our master teacher said to take care of each other and to look after the poor and the sick and to challenge those who would live in something less than the truth. You can figure out how to do that with kindness. I will talk about that next week. We were absolutely instructed to do these things. And so one of our acts of kindness this week is going to be to collect that food. Because all these federal workers, did they have something in their consciousness that created being laid off? No. No, this was something that was beyond their control. But they have an opportunity to be lifted up. They have an opportunity to be supported. And Central Texas Food Bank generously took care of them, and we're going to take care of the food bank for taking care of the federal workers. Yeah. And we're going to continue to do things throughout this year so that we can carry out the instructions that we were given to take care of people, to look out for people, to look out for each other. That has no political agenda. That has no radical social action. Although Jesus was kind of a radical social activist. You know? He was a system bucker. Bucker. Just making sure. So So I hope that's what you're about in your life. I hope that you're about being patient with yourself and with God. Because when you get mad with God, it really doesn't make any difference, because God's bigger than something that responds to anger. You can't curse God into changing your life. Just think about how silly that is. It didn't work for Job. It didn't work for Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel? Didn't get a very good night's sleep that night. I attribute it to the fact that he used a rock for a pillow. But it could have been a visitation by an angel. Either way, and that's something that happens in our lives, isn't it? Is your bad night's sleep because you had too much coffee, or your bed's too hot, or is it because there's something in the deep dark of the night for you to listen to? Just ask yourself that question. Because Jacob demanded his blessing. He said, I will wrestle with you, and you may not leave until we're done here and I've received my blessing from you. Yeah. So maybe we could try that approach the next time. Ah, I will wrestle with you, angel of disruption, angel of disappointment, angel of sorrow, angel of mucking up my big plan. I'll wrestle with you until I receive the blessing. But remember that it's an angel you're wrestling with. They always win. And they'll always bless you. Because that's how angels are. Threw a lot of information at you today. You've been very patient and receptive. And so I have a meditation from Ernest Holmes I'd like to share with you during this time. I'm going to speak these words on your behalf and my behalf. The Spirit within me is God. The living Spirit Almighty is within me now. Spirit is the sustaining principle of my life. I open my mind to its influx. I open my consciousness to its overflowing. The mind of God is manifesting in my life. The Spirit within me is projecting itself into my experience. Divine intelligence is acting in my affairs. Everything that I do, say, or think is governed by this intelligence. The power which creates and sustains everything is now creating everything necessary to my happiness. I am not concerned about what happened yesterday. I know that today everything is made new. I let go of all sense of limitation. I divorce my thoughts from any belief in lack. I repudiate the idea that I am poor, weak, sick, or unhappy. New conditions are being created for me, conditions of harmony, happiness, peace, and joy. All circumstances and situations are being harmonized. Wherever I go, I shall meet peace, joy, and happiness. Whatever I do shall be done with reason and intelligence. I shall be surrounded by friendship, by beauty, by right action. My whole being responds to this conviction simply with complete conviction. I accept my freedom. Just put your hand on your heart and breathe into that hand. Breathe deeply enough you can feel your hand move. I shall be surrounded by friendship, by beauty, by right action. My whole being responds to this conviction, and simply with complete conviction, I accept my freedom. Accept your freedom, beloved. Accept it. Know that whatever happens in your life, you have not been brought to this point as a spiritual seeker to be dropped off and left alone. It will never happen. So accept your complete freedom. In the spirit. Breathe into it. Release everything else that is not this. Breathe it out. May the blessing of God be upon you. May God's peace abide in you. May God's blessing illuminate your heart now and forevermore. And so it is. And so it is.